again, we're thankful to God for the blessing of being able to assemble ourselves together at this hour in this place to render worship service unto Him that we hope and pray that God will be pleased with, and everyone in attendance will be edified thereby. We're going to be coming from using Matthew's chapter 11, verse 28. Turn your Bibles there, Matthew's chapter 11, verse 28 down through 30. My topic for this morning, I want to focus on the five C's to Christ. The five C's to Christ. In Matthew chapter 11, let's begin about verse number 40, verse number 28. Here Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I pray we all know what a yoke is, correct? Mm-hmm. If you can picture that, we know that usually farmers, they would yoke two oxen or two mules or whatever animal they got, right, to pull the plow. The yoke is basically something that you hook on each one so that they can't go without the other. In other words, they're going along. So when Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you," think about what he's asking you to do. He's asking you to yoke yourself with him so that as he's guiding us, if you will, through this world in which we're in, you have to understand that when his teaching said, though we're in the world, we're no longer of the world. We don't belong to the world now. We belong to him. And if we yoke ourselves with Christ, then the things that we will be doing will be those things that are Christ-like, okay? He says, my yoke is easy. Some folk don't find being a Christian as being easy, and I don't think you should. Easy tends to breed complacency and everything else. It's not easy. I would ask the question, what part of Jesus's life on earth would you call easy? While he was on earth, what part of his life would you consider was easy? Anytime you're trying to accomplish something, anytime you have a goal you're trying to reach, it's not easy. All kind of things are going to come into your path to try to discourage you, to make you quit. So Jesus is telling us up front, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our easiness should come from, as we're learning God's word, we're learning to live God's word, not just know it, because to know to do good and do it not, the Bible says that it is sin. He says, I am meek and lowly. Well, when he says, and learn of me, I'm sorry, learn of me. How willing are you to learn about Christ? And I'm talking about to learn to the point to where your faith and trust in him, you know, is going to guide you and get you home. Don't take God for granted. Don't take Christ for granted. Don't take yourself for granted. God is God. God has given all mankind everything they need to be saved. And we know that everybody don't want to do what God says. They figure their way is better. Their way is more pleasing. Well, who are we supposed to be pleasing? Not man, not ourselves, but we're supposed to be pleasing Almighty God. And he says, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. That's an important verse because when it comes to your soul, you do know what part of you that is, right? The soul of man will never die. The soul of man will live on forever. And when the Lord is saying you shall find rest for your souls, he's talking about once your journey is over here on this earth and you are now in that spiritual realm waiting for the judgment, that's where your soul will be. But it will either be in paradise where Jesus told the thief on the cross he would be with him, or it will be in the other place where nobody really wants to go if they knew what was really there. And not only that, that is also eternal. So you have eternal life with God or eternal life away from God. You and I get to choose for ourselves which one of those we want. And then in verse number 30, he says again, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Ye that are heavy burden, what would be your heavy burden? Labor and heavy burden. A lot of times we're laboring to do things that are not things that leads to our salvation. We do things, it seems, because it seems like once certain things is in us for a period of time, that really becomes you. But when you become a child of God, now you got to be able to get those things out of your life. And so as we deal with this verse, drawing from it this topic, the five C's, if you will, to Christ. I start here in Matthew chapter 11, because what does he say in the first verse, verse 28? Come unto me. So the first C, man, all mankind has to do is come to Jesus. What does that mean? When the gospel is preached, or a Bible class is taught, or even a spiritual conversation takes place, you or whoever the individual is has to come to Christ. Come simply means you come within the company of, with the realm of, the presence of, right? And even in a Bible study, remember when Jesus says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. When you are teaching someone, even in a Bible study or conversation about Christ, he's letting you know, I'm there, I'm with you. You don't need to figure out anything. I've given you everything you need. You need to learn of me, right? And as you learn these things, then you're able to do these things, which is what's going to determine whether we make it to be with God in the end. So we're asking you this morning to examine your own self to see if you are a reprobate or if you have Christ Jesus in you. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Question, have you come to Christ? Are you really united with Christ? Are you in unity with your brethren? Check yourself by these definitions and the scriptures to see if they apply to you. Amen? Yeah. All right. You come first. Then after you come to Christ, you must be convicted. It's important to make sure we're understanding conviction. I mean, when you put it in the realm of people being convicted of a crime, right? What that simply means is it is known now. The truth hopefully has presented itself to you to the point where you now realize your sin. You realize your condition, and now you've been convicted. Convict means to prove to be. How do you prove yourself to be a child of God? To convince of an error, to compel, to admit the truth, or a strong persuasion of belief. That's what it means to be convicted. If you go back on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that when the gospel sermon was preached, the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts, right? That means something happened to them. It caused them to, a deep concern. They were pricked in their hearts. And they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, even as when we look at Acts 2, 48, we can see there that not only did they ask what they needed to do, the Bible tells us what they were told to do in order to be saved. But imagine if they wasn't pricked in their heart or they wasn't convicted. Because remember, Paul convicted them when he says, "For you have, ye men of Israel, hear these words," right? He says, the same Jesus whom you crucified, right? They didn't even convict him truthfully of going to the cross. It was a false conviction. But let me show you how God works. God knows man's evil contentions. And thank God, it was where a lot of time when people think they're doing God wrong, they're really doing what God wants. Remember, if Jesus had not gone to the cross, so these Roman soldiers, as well as the Israelites, they felt they were the reason that he was crucified. But that was God's plan. It's not their plan. God allowed man to take out his plan. And they're thinking they've done something big. Satan thought he had a victory. But Jesus got up on the third day. And once he got up, never to die anymore, the victory has been won. You and I have been given that same victory if we would just stay faithful to Christ. When we come to Christ and we hear his word preached or taught, or even through your Bible study, it should convict you in your heart where you know you are guilty of sin. Convict do mean guilty, right? Yeah, you've been found guilty. That's why you are convicted. But just because one is convicted doesn't necessarily mean that they are convinced. There can still be some doubt in a person even after they've been convicted. You probably haven't convinced them that they are truly in a bad place. And that becomes a problem when folk can't get past that. They can be convicted but not convinced. The word convinced, well, first let's look at a couple of scriptures here where Jesus was dealing with, actually the Pharisees was trying to stone the woman that had been caught in adultery, right? You guys remember that story? Go to John chapter 8 with me real quick. St. John, the chapter is 8. And this is the woman that was caught in adultery. And I'm not going to try to read all that. We're going to come down to chapter 8, if you will. And I want to get to verse 9, but let's get verse 5. No, let's get verse 3. And the Pharisees and scribes brought him a woman, taken in adultery, right? And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman has been taken in adultery in the very act. Now, in their hearts, in their minds, they are now trying to not just expose her, but they're trying to have her convicted, saying that she's guilty of this particular sin. It says, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? So you can see they always was trying to trap Jesus or trick him, thinking that they can get him in the situation to go against what they know. I believe they knew what Jesus should say, or what the answer should be. But understand, they're trying to follow Moses' law. Keep this in mind too. While Jesus was on earth, Moses' law was still in effect. It wasn't until he went to the cross that the old law was taken out of the way, and the new law, which is the New Testament teaching, that's what we have to live by if we're trying to make it to heaven by. He goes on to say in verse number 5, he says, Moses commanded us in the law that such should be stoned. What do you say? 6, this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote in the ground, as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, cast the first stone. Isn't that interesting? They're telling Jesus what this woman's guilt was, and they're telling Jesus what ought to happen to her. And Jesus says, any of you who are without sin, it don't have to be adultery, sin, you cast the first stone. And we know what happened. Thank God everybody was, I guess, honest enough or touched enough to recognize they were not without sin. They were just as guilty of sin as this woman was. And they wanted her punished, but they themselves felt that they could continue to go free. But then he went on to say in verse number 7, 8, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So he just told them, if you're without sin, you cast the first stone. Then he went back to writing on the ground. And verse number 9 says, and when they heard it, being convicted in their hearts. So you see what conviction does? They knew that they were just as guilty as the woman was, and probably even more guilty. It says that they were convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing in the midst. So again, you can be convicted, but not necessarily be convinced. To be convinced, the understanding the word convinced, matter of fact, let me go back to Acts chapter 2 real quick, verse number 37, where it says, and they were pricked in their hearts, and they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? That was their conviction, right? To the point where they wanted to know, what can I do to make this right? Okay? Then, of course, the word convince means to convict. Sometimes you can convince people to the point where you can convict them, but not necessarily mean that they're going to follow. And let me ask you this. Do you think Satan, the devil, was convicted and convinced that he didn't belong in the presence of God? He probably refused to be convicted. He was convicted of trying to be like God, and the Bible lets us know when that happened, he was thrown down from heaven. So we can see all the way back, as far back as we can go, whether it be our history books or definitely the Bible, to be convicted should do something to you. But that in itself is not a guarantee that you're going to change your ways or change your mind. So let's say you've been convinced. Now, there are people right now that is convinced that there's only one church. They've not really been convicted, but they're convinced. Why? Because you show it to them in Scripture. You can get them to understand, yeah, there's only one, but then they don't want to go no further. So after being convicted, convincing somebody to do right takes a lot of work. To convince means to convict, to prove. Most time, folk won't let you prove to them that there's only one church. They'll start, but they'll shut the Bible class off when they realize they are being convicted. You telling me that all churches are right when the Bible says there's only one? You telling me that you can be saved in any church when the Bible says the Lord put salvation in his church? See, so something is wrong. Matter of fact, that person's not even convicted enough on the truth. They're convicted, but not by the truth. Then you have to convince them. You can convince them. I can convince people to come to Sunday morning worship. But that don't mean they've been convicted. That don't mean they've been converted. Is that right? Some folk come, well, not some folk. Most folk come for a lot of different reasons. When the number one reason should be, if it's worship, to worship God. Definitely not to give man any, what do you call it, authority or influence over God at any time in your life. If God is not your center, if God is not who you are following, then the only other entity is Satan, which is why so much ungodly stuff still goes on throughout the world. And so as Christians, these are things that we have to be mindful of and be able to help others understand if we want to try to save them also. It also means, convince means to accept the reality of. See, so there's folk who they accept the reality that there's only one church, but it's hard for them to be convinced to let that become their faith that there's only one church. Just like the Bible says, there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. They say they understand that until they start talking. What I mean by that is they'll say stuff like, you have your faith and I have mine. Okay, that's fine in other things. But when it comes to God, there's only one faith. Amen. And that faith is what we have to rely on and we have to grow, that's going to help us to become more and more like Christ, which is the will of God our Father. To validate. And certainty. Here's how I try to validate now, and I think I told you guys this before. You know, I get a new soapbox every now and then, and I just stress it because I think it's important for folk to understand the things that's happening in Scripture. For instance, this says that to convince means to validate, right? Let's say the lady back there in the back with the skunk hairdo. Let's say, no, it is. That's my wife, right? So who does she belong to? Y'all can answer, it's fine. Who does she belong to?
God.
Okay, I knew somebody was gonna go, you went too high for me, but you're right. She belongs to me,
yeah.
Right? So that is the wife of Leo Gay. Why? Because when you look it up, the word of, that little small word, says a lot that people just kind of blow over. The church of Christ is saying it's the church that belongs to Christ. I tell folk when I preach and teach, when you're using words, make sure that the definition of that word, when you take that word out and put the definition in, it is saying the same thing, and sometimes maybe even clearer. So there should be no doubt that there's only one church, because the church belongs to Christ. Amen. We know that the church is also the body of Christ, right? The Bible says there's one body, right? One body. The Bible says that the body is the church is the body, Christ is the head. So how can you have all of these churches and they be right with God? You can't. But people can be fooled in thinking that it is. But God's word says different. So it depends on who people are really listening to and trying to follow as we on this journey from earth to glory. Titus chapter 1 verse 9 says, holding fast to the faith as he had been taught. That means the things that you've been taught, you got to hold fast to that. Not just hold fast, but put it to be a part of your life. And it makes it easier down the road. We all believe, I think you would agree, that the more you do something, the better you become at it. Right?
Yeah.
Even if you're doing it wrong, at some point, you're going to find that error, and then you're going to be able to fix it and continue on. But you got to abide in God's word. You got to continue. You just can't show up on a Sunday and think you can give God a worship service that he's pleased with. Why? Because all week long, you probably have not been right with God. And so, I don't want you thinking you have to wait till you come to church, come to service, to repent. Depends on what you've done wrong. If you've done wrong in your house, then you repent and fix it in your house with God. You don't have to bring that to the church.
Amen.
Thank you. But we, you know, sometimes it seems like we have people, they always want to come down front, and it's the same people all the time. That lets me know something's wrong. Something is wrong. And so, and what's wrong is they really don't yet fully understand God, the Bible, and how they should be living their lives. One may be convinced, but not converted. You remember what the Lord told Peter? He said, you know, Satan wants to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you, right? And he says, when you're converted, strengthen your brothers. So we got come to Christ. You got to be convicted of Christ. Then you got to be convinced, and you got to be converted. Converted simply means in other words, you turn around. That's kind of like the same with repentance. You turn around, right? You've been transformed. How are we to be transformed? The Bible says, don't be conformed. Don't agree with the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What renews our mind? Not man's word, not man's dictionary, scholarships, none of that. What renews our mind in God's economy is God's word. What does that look like? Well, I've always been thinking that it's all right for me to get back at you when you do me wrong. But now after I became a Christian, I learned that God says that I'm to forgive you. Now I got to make a choice. Am I going to live for God? Am I going to let my pride determine what I do? That's where a lot of folk are missing the boat. They won't do what God says. I must admit, in a lot of cases, maybe people just don't know why they don't know. I don't know why they don't know, but God does. If you don't know because you won't listen, because you won't study, because you won't trust God, then that's on you. You made a choice. If you want to be saved, who should you ask? Not necessarily even the preacher. But if that's all you got, yeah, ask the preacher. And I'll pray to God that he's a preacher of the Lord. The reason I said don't ask a preacher, because we've got too many different preachers. Right now, all churches are not teaching the same thing. A lot of them teach some of the same stuff. Others leave out stuff. Others add in stuff. But in the Lord's church, did he not say, don't add to? Don't take from? What I've given you is all that you need that pertain to life and godliness. If you would just obey my word, be faithful unto death, I will give you a crown of life. That's the teaching that we have. And yet it seems like folk don't trust it enough, if you will, to obey it. So a new convert, for instance, must be taught and discipled to be convicted and convinced. Yeah, they may come down, they may decide they want to be baptized. And I definitely tell folk where I preach and everywhere I go, don't try to make it to heaven off of a sermon. The sermon is to call to get your attention that there's a way that God wants you now to live and travel. You have to study your Bible. You have to feed your soul God's word. Your soul, again, that's that part of you that makes you who you are. Let me just do it again. This is another one of my soapboxes. Why? Because I just feel in my mind that a lot of folk miss this. As you guys are sitting there right now, listen to the question carefully. Do you see me? Hello?
No.
Do you see me?
No.
Do you see me? Okay. Right? And the answer is no, you don't. You see what I'm in. This is the body that God gave me to live in. Once he determined this needs to go back to the ground, that part of me that's going to go to him is the part I ought to be trying to make myself right with God with. Because you'll either be, again, with him eternally in the heavens or eternally in the lake of fire. It's things like that that folk take for granted. They never really give it serious thought. Sometimes maybe they haven't been taught better, but most of the time I have to believe they really have not felt is that needful to search. The Bible says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they, talking about the scriptures, that testify of me. Even when the Holy Spirit came, Jesus says, he won't be speaking for himself. He'll be speaking of me. And yet you still have folk that treat Jesus any kind of way and think that they're going to be with him when this life is all over. Not only must a new convert be taught and disciplined, discipled rather, to be convicted and converted, but they must grow and mature to be committed. Wow. The five C's. Committed. Would you say this morning that you are committed to the cause of Christ? And just keep in mind, God knows your true heart. That's why the Bible talks about, you know, don't be fooled, don't fool yourself. Don't deceive yourself in thinking you're all right with God when you know and God knows you're not. Which is why we shouldn't be trying to, let's say, please people. When we do things or say things, God is the one that we're supposed to be concerned about. God knows when I'm lying. God knows when I'm telling the truth. The way this world is, I can tell you something and it could be a lie and you can believe it to be the truth. Mainly because you won't research it for yourself. Or I can tell you the truth and you can believe it's a lie. Why? Because you won't check it for yourself. The three C's to Christ. That commitment is that last part there for this lesson. Commit means to put in charge or to trust, to obligate, to bind, to do, to give over to. We have to give ourselves over to Christ and let him guide us in the direction that we say we want to go, which is heaven. Because there's only two ways, heaven or hell, right? So you get to decide which way you want to go based on God's word and your obedience to it. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, and these things you have heard of me, Paul says, the same commit thou to faithful men who are able to teach others also. You and I have to tell the world about Christ. If you don't do it, who will? There are people in your life that I will never meet. So, who's going to tell them about Christ? It's supposed to be his followers. That would be you and me. So, if we're not doing our job there, that's why the world is getting worse and worse and worse. The Lord's church is swindling. Doors are closing. We're losing members. We have no young people in our congregations. Why? Because the world still has more of their attention than God does. These five C's are required to get in Christ and to abide in Christ until death. You come to Christ, you be converted by the gospel of Christ, you be convinced that the gospel is truth, you be converted to Christ, that means you obey him now, you be committed to God, to Christ, and the Holy Spirit until death. God has promised you a home in heaven for all eternity. That promise is based on your obedience. To get in Christ, one must first hear the gospel. You have to hear that good news about Christ. And upon hearing that, that Christ died for the sins of all mankind, shed his blood to purchase the church and place salvation in it. Titus 2:10 says that, Paul says, I I look for all, I'm sorry, salvation, excuse me, for the grace of God has appeared unto all men, teaching, right, us how to live in this godly world. But then he also says, in Titus, I think it is, that Christ has, Paul says, I endure all things for thee, let's say, that you obtain. What does obtain mean? When you want to obtain something, you have to go, you have to get it, right? Obtain salvation, which is in Christ. So salvation is in Christ. And Christ is the head of the church. That's where he placed salvation, is in the church. Then you ought to be able to see that you have to be in Christ through baptism. And when you're in Christ, you are now in the church of Christ. And oh, by the way, you just obey Christ until you, he calls you out of this world. And God's promise is that he will give you, and I, if we do right, a crown of life. You got to believe that, though, to the point to where you repent. What is repentance? It's nothing more than stop doing what you've been doing and start doing things God's way. It's a change of mind.